Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Bills did announce today they're bringing in both defensive tackles, Jordan Phillips, and then this morning, Quentin Jefferson. Both coming back, both a reunion for the Bills.
They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs, so we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
In a week against a Jonathan Taylor, who any given week can just completely brutalize you on the ground, that's a huge concern. I think going into this game, stopping Jonathan Taylor has to be one of the top priorities for Sean McDermott and his defense.
Mike Danger.
We love Jordan Phillips. Great dude. Am I excited about it? No.
It's Eli Anku. Eli Anku should be the guy.
I think he's earned it.
Gene Battaglia.
We are just living in a golden age. The Bills at 7-2. The last time the Bills won in Indy, 1998, the game that sparked Flutie Mania. My concern, the Bills run defense a little leaky there. You know, do you think the Bills can get this cleaned up in time to face Jonathan Taylor and the Colts?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Hey, thanks for checking out the Sports Bar, Rochester's only local sports talk show. Alongside the dapper and professional Gene Battaglia, I am merely Mike Danger. And Gino, I know that today is a day that has a lot of people kind of sideways. They're confused. They don't really understand what happened last night. And for what it's worth, we're confused as well. We're right there with you. We have no idea how the Sabres won 5-1 against Ottawa to end their winning streak.
You said pick six earlier again.
Hi-oh!
Hanging curveball. That's Nestor Cortez against Freddie Freeman. Here it is, like right on the inside of the plate.
Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah. Derek, by the way, flipping me off. Derek, I'm on camera.
Yeah, we're trying to do a show over here. We're a couple of professionals. We're a couple of professionals here, you hack. What's wrong with you? We're doing a professional show over here. It's happy hour in the sports bar.
Playing the game where you flip each other off secretly.
I know. Now the problem is you're on camera. Then, you know, I do it, and then, you know, somebody will screenshot it.
I think you can find a little bit worse online than a guy giving you the finger. You could probably find a lot worse online than a guy giving you the finger.
I'm not sure Odyssey would like that, Danger, but... Hey, times that the Buffalo Bills have gotten whooped, their butts kicked. Like, boy, you didn't think of that. Well, Baltimore, okay? That was not enjoyable, right? Last time before that, really, it honestly was the Colt game.
It really was.
It was like the Colt game, you know, the you go back to the first year with the Saints and everything, but the Colt game, this is Josh Allen. This is a team that should have everything ready to make a playoff appearance. And, wow, and that's late November, and they just came in here and, wow, dropped the hammer. Is there any fear? Now, 3 years, a lot has changed.
Yeah, timeline this out for me, too, because I'm trying to remember what year was... Because I feel like that game made Jonathan Taylor a lot of money.
That was 21.
So that was 2021?
November 21st, 2021.
And what year did the Bills beat the Colts in the playoffs with Phillip Rivers? Was it the following year?
No, that's the COVID year because none of us went to it.
That was the 2020 season.
So that's the wild card round weekend. Then the Bills get the Ravens the following weekend, and then they lose with the Stephon Diggs champion. You know, we can label these games like Diggs looking at the celebration.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, so they lost in the championship to the Chiefs. That was the COVID season. The following season, the Colts made the trip to Orchard Park and just throttled the Bills out of the building with five
Jonathan Taylor touchdowns.
But on that hand, what, you know, and that's the season that ends in 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the Bills would kind of turn it around at that point. Is this Colts team, do they have that capability? I don't think they do, Danger.
There's a lot of things that have changed from that last. I know a lot of us will have that as a nightmarish memory of the Bills versus the Colts. And I know you have the stat lined up for the last time that the Bills have gone into Indianapolis to get a win, which would have been the Rob Johnson / Doug Flutie handover game, right? Like,
right.
Flutie mania begins with them winning in Indianapolis in 1998.
The stadium no longer exists, the Hoosier Dome. Wade Phillips, the head coach. I mean, granted, Brownie pointed this out. They only played six times, but still, that's a conference opponent.
The thing that, I mean, the biggest thing that I think is different from the last time they played here is the leadership. You have Shane Steichen, through his decision to bench Anthony Richardson and start Joe Flacco, the thing that we don't know about this Colts team is just how cohesive are they? Are they divided? Is that locker room split? Do you have some guys that can't stand the sight of Richardson for tapping out in the middle of a game? Or do you have guys that still support him that think that maybe he got done dirty? And I guarantee you that they're talking about that, that the players are talking about that amongst themselves, which can't be seen as a healthy thing when you're trying to get everybody moving in the right direction. Yeah, they're all professionals, and they all have a job to do, but I don't think everybody in that locker room is Team Flacco or Team Steichen for the move of benching Richardson and starting Flacco. Taylor is the constant. Quentin, their lineman, and I'm blanking on his name, Quentin Nelson,
yeah,
is also a constant. You know, he's really good, and he's a physical guy. And if you can control that element of their offense, the run game, and you heard Bernard talk about it in your update, then I think you make them one-dimensional, and you're going to blow the Colts out of the water. But if Taylor is allowed to get going, then it could be a closer game than I think we expect.
It also is noteworthy. We're joined by PJ Glasser, and he's threading the needle here. Like, thinks the Bills will win, but not good enough to cover. Just like last week, too. Maybe it's nothing, or maybe it's something, but the line has moved against the Bills in both weeks, which in a league that loves... Not a league. The betting public loves offense, right? We gravitate to teams like that. Like the Ravens, for example. Hey, they're favored by 6 over Cincinnati. No, you're falling in love with the Ravens offense too much. It's a divisional game on a short week. Take Cincinnati, was PJ's advice. So why is sharp money going against the Bills? And Danger, you brought this up. If you're just looking at this analytically and you just kind of did this blindly, man... You know, when it comes to a lot of these metrics, the Bills are not top 10 in this league.
Very mid. Where they succeed and where they're killing is Josh Allen isn't getting sacked. They're number one in sacks allowed. And the turnover ratio. The turnover ratio has masked a lot of mediocrity on both sides of the ball for this team. They are the benefactors of getting the ball and not turning it over. We talk a lot about Josh Allen not, you know, being more careful with the ball and making good choices, and that certainly helps in your plus-minus. The game changed on Sunday when Mostert fumbled the ball, when Johnson punched the ball out of Mostert's grasp, and I think you need something like that to happen every game if you're the Bills, for you to have the chance to win and win big. So I like, the more I talk about it, and we'll talk tomorrow, with the host of the Locked On Colts podcast. That's Jake Arthur. I want to get his take on where this team is at, because you mentioned it, Gino. Whenever we talk to these beat reporters from outside, you know, that follow that team, teams that we're not as familiar with, whether it's Seattle or Jacksonville, we get little nuggets, little morsels, little weaknesses that we might not know. And when they share that with us, it's like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. One thing I could say is I don't think the Buffalo Bills are going to have a repeat performance from what they had last week against Miami. When you hear Sean McDermott here for just over a minute talk about how the defense needs to get pressure on their opponent, I mean, this is like one of my favorite Sean McDermott sound bites I think we've ever had. No lies told.
No, we're not goofing on him. He's actually talking defensive football.
When you hear him say what he says here, it's like everything he's saying makes sense, and it really puts an emphasis on winning the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. This is Sean McDermott earlier.
I believe pressure always starts with the front four. And, you know, that's where, you know, to just blitz irresponsibly is in some ways irresponsible at times, right? So I came from a very blitz-oriented background, right? So all in all, though, in order to do that, you have to have the complement of a four-man rush. And I think that's where, you know, we want to continue to put all of our eggs in that basket to start off and say, hey, how good is our four-man rush? And I think at times it's been really good, and I think at other times it can be better. As you know, winning the line of scrimmage is vastly important to winning in the NFL, run game or pass game in this case. So that's our base, is that four-man rush, and everything stems from that.
Do you think it needs to be better overall, Sean, than what you've gotten through nine games?
I think if you look at last week's game, we didn't have enough third and long, one-dimensional type situations. So that doesn't speak of the pass rush. That speaks of first and second down defense, in particular first down defense. So and then the complementary piece of putting a team into a one-dimensional type situation as a team. So, you know, those go hand in hand. And it's not just the front four. The coverage piece has to work together with it as well. So these are all areas here where we are trying to improve and become a better football team. So that process continues, and that's why we're going out to practice. But, you know, for any team to say they're satisfied at the midway point with everything they're doing, that's just not who we are.
Gap discipline. Pressure with the front four. You stop Jonathan Taylor, you handle the Colts with ease this weekend.
Easier said than done. Mm-hmm. We talked to Chris Brown, like, hey, what was that? And he basically said the edge. Who's setting the edge? Well, I know one side. That's Dorian Williams. Mm-hmm. Dorian Williams, sometimes he'll fall for the eye candy, you know, for the motion or whatever it is. And is Matt Milano getting close? Well, Not yet, but you know, you're hoping that maybe Matt Milano can get back in there before the end of the season. I think Williams is certainly a good young player, but he's not Matt Milano on this. But having Bernard in the middle of this, helping out everything, and talking about that front four danger, like Daquan Jones,
kind of quiet,
and Oliver. Kind of hoping for some more here,
a little bit more.
Yeah, the defensive tackle, these two signings today. Like, if anybody's excited about Jordan Phillips or Q coming back, as McDermott will talk about it, we played that soundbite during one of the sports updates where McDermott is talking about this. When I listen to this, it doesn't sound like either guy will be active coming up.
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
There are other concerns as the Bills hold their walkthrough practice today. We have the injury report. Everybody participating except... For Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
And here's a little bit more color, if you want to call it that. I don't know. Things seem very murky around the rookie wide receiver's hand/wrist injury.
Injuries. Thank you, Sal, for getting it started.
Do you have a status on Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I do. So Keon won't be out there today. You know, we'll see where things go. And I just, you know, Nate communicates with me each day, and we'll just take it one day at a time and see where things take us there.
Do you view him as a day-to-day at this point versus week-to-week?
You know, I think it could be more than just this week, but we'll see. Again, I'll know more. The evaluation is still ongoing here.
Where's Cooper at?
So Cooper will be out there today in a similar capacity to what he was last week.
Benford
will be back. And then Reggie Gilliam is another one. I'm not sure if you guys had that on your radar or not, but he'll be limited today. So everybody, including those I already mentioned, will practice today other than Keon. Everybody will practice today. You guys already know about Smoot being out and on IR. So I think that should give you all the updates I know at this point.
Just to clarify, with Keon, are you ruling him out for the weekend or yet to be determined?
Yet to be determined, yeah. I'll update you more on Friday, John, when I'm back in front of you guys. Yeah.
John, anything more about the nature of Keon's injury, hand or wrist?
Just that, he's not going to be available today. And I know he wants to be available. He's a heck of a competitor. But he's not available today, and we'll see where that takes us, as I said, on Friday.
Kids, that's
DeJuan
what
Smith,
call
did he
a pivot.
Have the surgery, and did that indicate anything about whether or not he'll be likely to return this season? I know you said it was kind of...
Yeah, I feel at this point that he'd be likely to return this season. Again, he just got out of surgery, I believe it was yesterday afternoon, so that's really my update from Nate at this point.
Yeah, there's your injury update from earlier today, and head coach Sean McDermott, you're right, Gino, that was the pivot of all pivots.
That is like, is it a hand or wrist? Well, he's not going to be available today. Yeah. Answer the question.
Don't want to answer the question? Not going to answer the question. He's not available
that
today.
That is an underrated skill. I'm not going to answer the questions. I'm just going to talk. He just kind of put you to sleep there. He's going to talk about something then.
No, and nobody dares ask it a second time for clarity.
If your kid did that, right, like, hey, where were you? You know, my grades are good or whatever. You know, like, you're not falling for that. The pivot. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So no Keon Coleman, at least. Okay. Maybe there is a little bit of hope, but let's figure he's not in
there.
I don't
think he's playing this weekend.
If there was ever a week where you would use Curtis Samuel, a guy who plays essentially Keon Coleman's position there in the slot, like, what is the purpose of Curtis Samuel on this roster right now if he can't contribute?
Yeah. Maybe a big Amari Cooper day. Maybe a big Dalton Kincaid day ahead for the Buffalo Bills if Coleman can't go. Another just Bills-related note. After releasing Mike Edwards yesterday, this is Gene's favorite story of the day. Edwards is now with the Tennessee Titans. They lost their safety, Quandre Diggs, for the season with a foot injury. So it would appear that Edwards will get what he wanted, which is on the field.
Yeah, or in a pay cut. You're a loser. I'm sorry. Like, you couldn't get on the field here in Buffalo. Well, I want another opportunity. Well, did you think Kansas City was going to take you back? Did you think you were going to? Because last I checked, Tennessee is not in a position to make the postseason. It's not like the Bills were going to cut you or anything, dude. But now I can tell you that, hey, where the Bills are, I think it's safe to say, we called the race, we'll be cashing at least one playoff check. You won't be cashing any.
Yeah, not really a guy that fits the culture that Sean McDermott is trying to build, right? When you're a guy that can't get on the field and you're kind of vocal about it and you want to trade and you're liking posts on social media that basically lay out why you're upset. Yeah, so Mike Edwards is gone. Greener pastures, off to Tennessee.
What, not greener pastures.
Well, for him.
For him, yeah, you get to play now.
He gets to get on the field. No Micah Hyde.
No. Can we put to rest this story? Or we?
I would like to. I think that if that's something that happens, then something has gone horribly wrong. That is this year's AJ Klein. You're in case of emergency break glass situation. But I don't see it as, we got to bring him in because he's an upgrade over X. I don't see where he would not play. I don't think he would get on the field unless something has gone wrong, unless there's an injury.
Well, to bring it back to the two tackles, it wouldn't surprise me, like, if we get to the end of the week and, all right, let's bring in Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson. You work the guys out and you realize, okay, no, this ain't it here. And you're going to release one of them. You're going to bring up Eli Ankou. Eli Ankou, to me, has earned a spot in the 53. I like how he makes plays. And the next time you do that, well, you're going to have to keep him on the 53 or he doesn't go back to the practice squad. Or if he does go back to the practice squad, you can't call him up again. So what are we doing here?
On X at the Fan Rochester, one of our regulars, Pete, what's the difference between Tomlin replacing Fields with Wilson and Steichen replacing Richardson with Flacco? I just think there's a bigger sample size with Fields. It's not his second season in the league. He's been around and you kind of know what he is and you know what he isn't. He is not clutch.
Well, it's the investment. It's the number four overall pick. I can't point to another instance. 10 games. That's it.
Six full games as a starter.
Where else has that happened in NFL history? Now, you could point to the stats. You could say he's not ready. But this wasn't a timeout. This wasn't, hey, we're going to go with Joe. We're going to take this week by week, and we're going to see how practice goes. No, no, no. You know, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's Joe Flacco from here on out.
Correct.
And the kid, so you're losing the development time unless you just think the coaching staff may be, hey, he's never going to get it. We've got to try to win games. Are we feeling under pressure? This is what bad organizations do.
I wonder if the tap out really ruined him. If the tap out ruined his chance to ever be relevant in Indianapolis again.
Of course. Like
they're going to move him this offseason as soon as they can.
There are some things that you can never recover from. When I say Roberto Duran for boxing fans, you think, no mas. Like that, like legitimately, right. Like you can
Cam Newton in the Super Bowl not diving for a football.
Yeah, like this is like a Maggie and Perloff great debate topic. Like things like that that would make you say, what players that... I don't know. Is tapping out quitting?
It's but, always going to stick with him.
Yeah.
He's always going to have to live with that. And I guess Indianapolis would prefer that he live with it somewhere else. And with the Steelers, Pete, I think what you have in their situation between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and this is something we talked about in the offseason when they acquired both of these guys, low risk, high reward. I mean, there's not a massive investment for either of these guys that you brought in. In fact, you didn't really invest anything in either of these guys. So what you get out of your quarterback play is gravy. And if you get something positive, well, maybe one of these guys sticks long term, but you're not really committed to either of these guys. You've bought yourself a season where you can stay competitive after you kind of cut bait and admitted, yeah, you screwed up with Kenny Pickett. He's not very good. And that sample size wasn't a large sample size either. You had enough, though. You saw enough and you knew he's not the dude.
Well, there was also something with Kenny Pickett. He was pissing and moaning when they signed Russell Wilson.
That's right.
You know, so like, okay, you don't want to be here. Like a true competitor would be
you don't
like,
want to be a backup.
Yeah, no, well, I'm going to take that job. And ironically, you would have had that job had you just kind of, now you're just kind of, you know, sitting the bench in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, I think that's the biggest difference, Pete. There's a bigger investment with what the Colts have in Richardson versus what the Steelers have in both Fields and Wilson. And look, Russell Wilson has been a nice story since he's taken over that starting role with Pittsburgh, but you could still see a you know, Russell Wilson looking like a bum out there. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility either. He looks like he has command of that offense right now, and it certainly looks more efficient than it did when Justin Fields was in there. But Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson at this stage of his career. I think that you know, the clock is going to strike midnight at some point for the Steelers offense as their schedule gets a lot tougher down the stretch.
They're still a playoff team, though.
Mm.
You see them falling to, like, the ace spot?
Mm.
That would be a drastic fall.
Mm.
Well, a lot will have to do with Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's good. Cincinnati and Baltimore. And I wish Steelers Commanders was not head-to-head against the Bills.
Yep.
That, you know, 4 o'clock window, we're going to be served up Cowboys and Eagles. That does.
If you're the Eagles, by the way, no mercy. No mercy. I'm saying if you're the Eagles, win by 30 or more. Don't let up. Absolutely send a message to the league and destroy Dallas. That's what I'm hoping I see in that late window. Not that I'm against Dallas. I'm neutral on Dallas. I really don't care. Yeah. I think they're a joke franchise. But if you're the Eagles and you want to set a tone and you want to let the rest of the league know that you shouldn't be slept on, absolutely obliterate a team that doesn't have their starting quarterback and looks like they're quitting on their coach. And nobody's going to talk about Nick Sirianni being Section 5 Sirianni for the rest of the season. Well, at least for a week at least.
Philly is a wild card team. Philly is a 5.
Philly can still win that division.
Mm.
They can still win that division. All right, we got to get to a round of shots next.
Yeah, Sabres won last night, of course, because Dandelorean went out to the game.
Just a shocking, not the only shocking turn of events last night, but it was a shocking turn of events.
Star returning to the ice tonight. We'll set you up for the night on ice. We have some news in baseball here. We're promising in LA, not so much in Atlanta, and I don't know, like when you do hashtag Sabres, it pops up Saberhood or whatever it is. There's another person that did this for an NFL team that, this NFL team, if you could believe it, this person has millions more followers that gave this NFL team a little bit of a shout out. I don't think he intended.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll get into I know where you're going. Okay, with that. We'll get to a round of shots next. Don't forget about last call as well. You can have the final say in the sports bar at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan, Rochester Sports Update.
The Bills had two vacant roster spots. They don't anymore. They beef up the defensive line. Coming back to Buffalo, defensive tackles Jordan Phillips and Quinton Jefferson. Although head coach Sean McDermott wants to see a little bit more.
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
Tyler Bass named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Bills and Colts coming up on Sunday. Amherst hockey tonight. Rochester looking to make it five in a row. Playing at Cleveland, Andrew Mossbrooks will have your call beginning at 7. Buffalo Sabres playing the Rangers at MSG tomorrow. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
The sports leader, 95.7 FM and streaming online at thefanrochester.com and the Odyssey app. This is The Fan, Rochester.
Happy hour continues. Thanks for checking out the Sports Bar at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app, and our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester and streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester as well.
Hey, the Sabres won. J.J. Paterka, Bowen Byram, both scoring twice. Tate Thompson had the other. Thank you, Sabres. Beat their former goalie in Linus Ullmark. I forgot he was up in Ottawa.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, what? Yeah.
And things aren't going well, by the way, in Boston since the Swayman-Ullmark pairing has been split.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of consternation in Boston right now as well. So, anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Linus Ullmark, his former Sports Bar and studio guest.
Yes.
Of the 11 games in the NHL last night, only San Jose had worse attendance danger. 12,260 showed up in Buffalo on election night, including our very own Dan Drummy, who had pretty good seats, but went home sad wearing sense gear.
Yeah.
Sabres play the Rangers tomorrow, MSG.
I'm going Monday. I'm excited. I haven't been to a Sabres game yet this season. I'm taking my little one. I know it's the Canadiens, and my expectations are that half of the barn will be filled with red, white, and blue, and not necessarily Buffalo Bills colors.
Which is smart. It's a holiday on Monday, so they put that Monday afternoon, and hopefully it does fill up on Monday afternoon with people bringing their kids. Connor McDavid back in the lineup tonight. He's ahead of schedule. His ankle injury, originally said it was going to be 2 to 3 weeks. It kept them out a total of 9 days.
Nine times.
Edmonton facing Vegas tonight. Quiet night on the ice. Only three games. Nashville as a Washington. Danger, the only game on TV. Detroit and Chicago play 8 p.m. on TNT.
Yes, Patrick Kane coming back to the Madhouse on Madison for the second time since leaving. And Chicago is, I wish there was more to say there than just Connor Bedard, but he's having himself a nice start to the season.
Shohei Ohtani had surgery on his non-pitching left shoulder. It was a slight dislocation, a sublocation, as they call it. The Dodgers expect Ohtani to be ready opening day. The plan is to have him back on the mound once again.
Right. That was always the plan, to get him back on the mound next season, right? This season was just going to be DHing, and you get him on the mound next season. And it's his non-pitching shoulder, so that's good news. And man, I mean, if we see Ohtani look like he looked when he was with the Angels, but with the Dodgers on a bigger stage with more people paying attention and them being the defending champs, could be a historic season for him.
However, let me point something out. The shoulder injury Ohtani had, same injury, same sort of dislocation that Cody Bellinger had. Cody Bellinger, it was weird. He's high-fiving a teammate in the postseason. The next year, he doesn't even hit 200. Now, the difference being that it's the lead shoulder versus the back shoulder, I guess.
Yeah.
So for Ohtani, when he's swinging, it was actually kind of the lead shoulder, if you will. So,
okay.
So what I'm saying is it could be better for Ohtani than it was for Bellinger. The news in Atlanta, not as good. The Atlanta Braves say, their top player and their top pitcher won't be ready opening day. Ronald Acuna tore his ACL back on May 26th. Spencer Strider had Tommy John back on April 12th. Neither one expected to be ready in March.
That checks out. I mean, when you talk about the ACL, it varies from patient to patient, but I suppose if you wanted to push it to 6 months, you're probably not at 100%, not really ready to go. But if you wait until you get the season going, you see Acuna at some point next year. And the Tommy John is usually what, like 18 months?
Yeah, usually, right. It's the 12 months is pushing it there a little bit.
So I would expect that you'll see them both, but probably not until you get closer to the middle of the season or later in the season, in the case of Strider.
For the second straight year, the New York Jets have raised their season ticket prices. Deposits for the next season are due in November. On average, they're going up 6%. This for a team that is 3-5.
Well, they're going to win out, so it's worth every penny. And if you're a Jets fan, you've got to be ecstatic today. This is a big, big day for you as a Jets fan.
So Woody was in Florida for the celebration.
He was at Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago, yeah.
Yeah, he's a part of it all. He's in the middle of it all. He's angling already. He wants that gig. Give him the gig to be the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the U.K. and get him away from your organization. And you might actually be good next year.
The ambassador job. And I'm watching, The Diplomat, right? And that is, it's really good.
I'll add it to the list.
Listen, will you just take my advice? Sit down with your wife or your daughters. You'll enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Kerry Russell. not a selling point?
Oh, Kerry Russell.
No? Yeah.
Okay.
Anyhow.
I'll share that with my wife as I'm watching it. But this show is ass, but you know what's great? This hot Kerry Russell. She's smoke. I'm into it. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to say that out loud. Sorry, honey. No, you're right. We shouldn't watch this show ever again.
In sales, we call it features and benefits.
Yeah,
that would be a feature.
A feature.
Yeah, that would be a benefit. No, my point is the ambassador is usually, yes, it's usually a comfy job where you give to a buddy. It's not like anything that's going to hinge on world peace
You think Woody Johnson works? You think that guy works?
He's hosting dinners and glad handing.
His job is being social. His job is wearing his gold, his icy Woody necklace and that's his job. Entertaining. Nah. Let him be the diplomat. And it's great news for you if you're a Jets fan.
Well, it is, because it's all about connections. Is this how Aaron Rodgers kind of launches into that world then too, eventually?
Well, if RFK gets a job in the cabinet, which I think a lot of people are saying he will, do you save a space for Rodgers post-retirement here in the next couple of years?
Mr. Fauci, I'm sorry. We have Mr. Rogers here. Mr. Rogers.
Surgeon General, Aaron Rodgers. Why not? Why the hell not?
Hey, everybody. Hi, Dr. Nick.
There he is.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Aaron Rodgers, your new Surgeon General in the Trump administration with the recommendation from RFK.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
If you're really upset, just try laughter. Just you have to appreciate the absurdity of the world, right? The New Orleans Saints, Danger, maybe on a 7-game losing streak, right? But oh, they also fired their coach. But
that's then, right.
Yeah, they may have something, though, that could certainly turn things around. They have something that no other team has. Do they have the backing of His Holiness himself, the Pope?
Ah, the Pontiff.
Writes the Pope, the hashtag Saints are precious pearls and are always living and relevant because they provide a fascinating commentary on the gospel. Hashtag Saints sprouted the New Orleans Saints fleur-de-lis logo.
Yep.
Was he actually talking about the New Orleans Saints? As one fan wrote, not even the Pope can save this team.
I just think that, yeah, when you look at the comments after that tweet, I mean, that's why we go to X, right? That's the entertainment. Pontiff, this is an NFL franchise that you're talking about. Nothing, yeah, the misuse of the hashtag from the people that are kind of clueless as to how it all works on social media, always entertaining. And the Saints, I'm going to stick with this one, man. The Saints could complete the NFL circle of life here over the course of the next 24 months. They could be really bad this year, reboot everything, bring in a new head coach, go out and hire Ben Johnson, pay Ben Johnson to be one of the top five highest paid coaches in the league, an offensive minded guy. Or maybe Cliff Kingsbury gets another chance to be a head coach in the NFL and you see him roaming the sidelines in New Orleans. An offensive-minded guy is my point. Yeah. Just so that you can be bad in 2025 with no talent on the roster and take Arch Manning out of Texas, number one overall, the grandson of the great Archie Manning. You want to sell hope in New Orleans? That's the way to do it.
I would think the way to do it is actually... Who is the? He's some Goomba here that is, he's Italian. I just know that. The interim coach. Somebody help me out. The Saints interim coach is, well, keep him on as the patsy for next year. This guy is not part of the range, but you could sell it and just say, we really like the job that, you know, our guy has done. And then you sleepwalk through 2025 and they get to 2026.
Darren Ritzy.
Hey!
Darren, not a real Italian name.
Ritzy,
R-I-Z-Z. Of course, he's the interim head coach for the New Orleans Saints. Because he's Italian!
Well, you're not going to give me the job full time? We need to have a talk here.
We can dump you in the Gulf. Nobody will know. You won't be missed.
So we go from the UK. We talk about the Vatican. Now to Germany, Danger, where we should apologize to them for exporting Panthers and Giants coming up on Sunday morning. Bryce Young to start at quarterback after the rare win for Bryce Young. Can he make it two in a row?
If the Panthers win, does Brian Daboll lose his job upon returning?
It's very un-Giant-like. I'm going to say no. Should he? Yes. But you're also getting rid of the GM at that point.
Are the Panthers coach killers from here on out? If the Panthers and Bryce Young beat you
2 weeks in a row,
yeah, beat a bad team like the Giants, and they just beat the Saints, do they take out Daboll? I think the Giants are in trouble. I'll watch. What's wrong with me? I'll watch that game.
I'll watch because I have Malik Nabers in fantasy.
There you go.
I love Malik Nabers.
There you go.
I'm just like, can anybody get this guy the ball? No.
That's right.
We're still sticking with Daniel Jones. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Giant fans should hate watch this. No, I'll end up watching too.
Yeah, get a cup of coffee, a little breakfast, watch Sunday morning football from Germany, and see if the Panthers can end the Giants' misery. Or Brian Daboll's misery, really. He is miserable. Like, he is unrecognizable on that sideline. He's not the Brian Daboll I remember here in Buffalo.
Because he lost all that weight?
He's just so, he's just so unpresidential. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's vocal, he's yelling, he's getting after his guys. He's just doing things that we used to see coaches do a lot, but I don't know that it translates with this new generation of players. The way he undresses them with his words is it's a little much. It's a little much. I don't know.
It's one thing when your coordinator is collapsing on the sideline because Charles Clay can't hold on the ball.
Remember that.
But that's a coordinator. That's not a head coach.
Yep.
A head coach should not be doing that sort of stuff.
We get the last call next, 866-4FAN. If you want to pull up a stool and join us, you can have the final say in the sports bar, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You're back in the Sports Bar. Last call, 866-4326, 585-866-4326. 4FAN. We've got a great Thursday lined up for you tomorrow in the Sports Bar as we get closer to kickoff Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock between the Bills and the Colts. 13 Wham Sports at BuffaloPlus.com's Dan Fates stops by as he does every Thursday at 3:25. And then joining us in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow, the co-host of the Locked On Colts podcast. We'll learn more about Indianapolis from Jake Arthur when he stops by the Sports Bar.
I always feel like when we have one of those conversations, I'm either feeling better or worse about, you know, the opponent here. Like I learn more and I, you know, it's clarity. So where I'm kind of leaning, all right, the Bills will cover this week. I want to hear it from a Colts insider. Like, what is really going on with the quarterback situation there?
What can we expect out of Jonathan Taylor? How does Jonathan Taylor look in the Shane Steichen offense? Because it feels like, and I hate to say it because he's still a good player, but I feel like his best days are behind him. And so if that's the weapon you're trying to eliminate for the Bills defense, what else do the Colts have with Joe Flacco in the pocket?
Mm.
We'll learn from Jake Arthur when he stops by at 4:25 tomorrow afternoon here in the Fan.
We mentioned how Greg Popovich is away from the team. According to Shams Charania, there is a great level of concern surrounding Pop. Pop is 75.
But we don't know what the ailment is.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I hate that. I don't like that at all. Hope he's all right.
Just health issue.
He's going down as one of the best of all time, right? You have to put him, where do you put him? You put him top five? Top three?
Wow. Fact that he won with different casts.
San Antonio.
In San Antonio. Right? I mean, still... Like, the idea, well, Phil Jackson, anybody could win with Michael Jordan. No. In fact, he did it over and over again and got the most out of that. Now, you could say it didn't work and as an executive with the Knicks, but to me, still Phil Jackson's at the top. But tell me who would be, you know, a better number two other than Pop.
Well, the old school guys would go,
Red Orbach,
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, Red Orbach.
Listen, I subscribe to the Bart Winkler theory. Like, until you actually merge with the ABA, like, everything, Rochester Royals, everything else, just no.
What do you mean Rochester? What did you just say there? Rochester Royals?
Yes.
What was that?
It was their NBA team.
We had an NBA team?
Yes.
No, we didn't.
Well, I wasn't around.
Stop making things.
This is what I'm told.
The Rochester Royals take on the Boston Celtics.
Read about it today.
Say, check out the cams on that cheerleader.
We did not have an NBA team. You're lying.
At the Edgerton Sports Park. Or
there's got to be some kind of memorial or something.
Think, you would think.
No?
No, I haven't found it yet.
Huh.
Went over there last week.
I don't believe it then.
No.
Not true. Fake news. If you missed any of today's show, we'll get that up and on demand for you wherever you get your podcast. Just search out the Sports Bar. And that'll include our guest appearances today. Hey, we had the voice of the Buffalo Bills on with us for the first time since training camp. That's Chris Brown, who stopped by and talked Bills Colts with us last hour. And PJ Glasser, tail PJ, if you want to make money this weekend. PJ Glasser is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. He gave us his favorite plays from both college and pro football. And if you've been listening every week with PJ, he's giving us winners, folks. So go ahead and tail him. Your bankroll will thank us. And as I mentioned, Dan Fates, Jake Arthur tomorrow on the show. JR Sport Brief next. Gino, have a great night.
Thanks, you too, bud.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 with a brand new episode of the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. Have a good one.
Listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.